irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, as you always are this time of the week, wherever you're listening from. As always, a fabulous show today. We're going to make you great. What does that mean? How do we do that? Well, you're going to find out. And also, I always encourage you to email me if you have any questions or comments. You can do so right here, actually, at my Gmail address. We're doing a straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc, just like it sounds, just like it's spelled. Straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about today, we'd love to help you out, maybe answer a few questions. If you're having some, you know, dilemmas, moral dilemmas, issues going on, come on down. We're here to help you. So that's what I'm doing, is taking email questions today. And boy, have I got a great guest. Ooh. She's awesome. Let me ask you a few questions, guys. First of all, what does it take for us to be great? Great. How do you define greatness for yourself? I mean, is it how much material accumulations and goodies you have? Is that it? Is it how famous you are? You know? Everybody out there in the media and all the celebrities and all those high-profile people, they seem like they're just great. Do you find your greatness by the way you have helped others? Do you find it by the way you've maybe contributed to the planet? Do you do your little part out there? Well, how about being great for yourself? I like those last two, actually. And today we're going to find out how to live happier, more fulfilling lives. And get rid of some of those self-destructive patterns and basically how to be great with my special guest, famed author Polly Higgins. She was voted, by the way, by The Ecologist as one of the world's top 10 visionary thinkers for her earlier work advancing the Universal Declaration of Planetary Rights. Ooh, I love that. She's also a barrister, an international environmental lawyer advocating a different approach to preventing the destruction of our planet. And, you know, she's really against those laws protecting the property rights of just a few and sort of shifting to the laws that impose responsibilities and duties and obligations for the benefit of the many. Now, she's been called the planet's lawyer and hailed a green hero. She was also, by the way, there's a lot of accolades here. So she was also named Campaigner of the Year at the People and Environment Achievement Awards. And today we're talking about actually her latest book, which, what a great read. It's called I Dare You to Be Great. Polly Higgins, welcome to the show. Nice to have you. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle. It's a delight to be on your show.
Well, it's lovely to have you calling in from England. So nice there. It's evening time for you, so you can just chill out. We're getting our day kind of started here in the U.S. of A. on the West Coast. So we're going to find out how to be great. And it's important, you know, for us to find our own greatness. So without further ado, let's just jump into what your definition is of greatness, Polly.
Well, for me, this is about being in service to something greater than myself. Yeah. And this is about really stepping into the adventure of life. I don't really know what that something greater than self is, but when we choose to become participants of life and gift our unique skills and our unique way of being to whatever it is that can create, in the words of my dear friend Charles Eisenstein, a more beautiful world that our heart knows is possible, then we're really stepping into a whole new realm of engaging with life itself. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. That really is about calling in the adventure. It's about stepping on, into a quest, if you like, asking mm-hmm. ourselves very big questions that we don't always know the answers to.
Sure.
And of course, that's what the quester does, asks the big questions that we don't know the answers to.
Wow, that's
and
true.
My starting point was to ask, how do we create a legal duty of care for the Earth, which
yes.
gave birth to Universal Declaration of Earth Rights and now Ecocide Law, which is really the big international law to create a legal duty of care for the Earth and protect the Earth's right to life.
It's lovely, Polly. I'd like to talk more about that ecocide in a minute, but you know, on the psychological side, that does kind of connect us all together, doesn't it? You know, when we're focused on, you know, how we can best, you know, serve and help and, you know, become one for this planet. And all the things that we can do to help out. And like I said, you're the planet's lawyer, so you can help us with all that.
I'm not the only one. There are many of us out there now, which is wonderful.
Well, speaking about which, you know, there's so many you said it. And what I loved is when you talked about how in your book, when Nelson Mandela wrote about when he finally walked out of the door of prison towards his freedom, he said that quote was, "I knew if I did not that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred, and bitterness behind, that I would still be in prison." And you say that as well, Polly. That when we let go of our own inner conflict, that we open up the space. How does that work? How do you think that works for us to do that?
I think it's about conscious choice. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, this is about conscious transformation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Earth is not called the only planet of choice for no good reason. I think this is absolutely right. We always have choice in life. We can choose to remain enslaved to that which holds us back. You know, there's fears, there's negative reactions that we have, the stuff that, you know, the little voice within that says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are many processes and many people that have far greater expertise than I do to, you know, help put those tools in place that we can use to consciously choose to let go of these patterns of harm that play out in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest starting points is to listen to the self. You know, it's that kind of check in and say, was that a great moment or not? And you know when you catch yourself and you say, oh, God, that really wasn't great. When you've, you know, snapped at your partner or your kids, whatever. And it's one of those moments where you think, hang on, you know what? This is a pattern that keeps on playing out. And that's often an indicator that there's something at play here. And the universe is just giving you opportunities to let it go and choose a different way and choose to let go of the old patterns of harm that are vested in us, that we've inherited, that we've learned from others, that we've rebelled against in some capacity from our parents, but we've put in place other patterns of harm.
Mm.
You know, all of this, I think, is now very well known and understood. But this thing of the conscious choice and tapping into the innate and asking ourselves, you know, what would be really great here? Mm-hmm. And that then opens up something very different instead, especially in the moments when we're most challenged.
Oh, yeah. That's so true, Polly. And you talk about, you know, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, rewiring our DNA. Mm. But I mean, and that's so amazing. And the studies that they're doing now are just mind-boggling, you know, about how we are the placebo, actually, and we can really fix ourselves. But you know, you're right. I mean, letting go, as you say, of our own inner ecocides. You know, we teach in psychology. You know, mindfulness is like it's been around forever, but it's really the new be aware moment by moment. How can you change? Why are you hurting yourself and having this pain? Why are you snapping at people? Why are you so stressed? And how, by the way, you know, through, you know, just cognitive tools. How can you defocus? How can you really focus on more positive things? Do behaviors that will help you, you know? And I think that there is really something to be said for all those types, you know, of treatments that, come on now, let's just get with it and try to shift, immediately shift and stop, you know, this inner turmoil that we constantly have going on, you know, so... So those are some of the ways, huh? And you know what else you say, which I love, Polly, in your book? By the way, it's called I Dare You to Be Great, folks out there, if you're listening and taking notes. You talk about our pain inside. And, of course, we're talking about mental, but also physical as well. How it is here to guide us. Now, Polly, how does that work to help us in our lives?
Well, you know, it's kind of like metaphorically stubbing your toe. You know, that's a wee indicator to lift your feet, if you like. And I think sometimes we kind of, you know, hit the pain wall, the pain barrier. And it can be very internal where, you know, it's an indicator that something ain't right. Something has to change. Something has to shift. And the more it plays out, the more painful it boomerangs back in again, again, again. You know, I mean, a very typical kind of pattern I'm thinking of here is, you know, stepping into abusive relationships. And yes, another one and another one and boomeranging to another. And this is something that plays out for a lot of women, but also sometimes men as well in their lives. And it's a pattern. And once we start to identify it as a pattern, and when we say enough, no more, I'm not having it. In fact, what you're doing is you're disrupting your own pattern. You're breaking it. You're breaking that cycle of harm. That inner ecocide that's playing out, and saying, I no longer, and this is about setting boundaries for ourselves as well, and saying, I choose another way. There has to be a better way. I don't know what it is, but it sure as hell is not that. And that is a very powerful moment. And I think often we get close to that moment, but something within us thinks, well, you know, I can't really do that. But actually, it's possibly the most important thing we can do is to stand up and say, thank you, but no thank you.
This
isn't going to work for me. And I think in a way our whole education system and often the way we're brought up is, especially in the UK in Britain, an element of politeness which hides and masks the truth of the situation. And often when we do kind of just quite easily and gently speak the truth and say, you know what, this really isn't working for me, it can act as a release. Especially when you let go of the blame around it and just say, you know, I think our time is up.
This
is not the kind of relationship I want.
And
that moment is about getting to a point, a choice point in our lives when we choose a very different way to engage with whatever it is, relationships. I mean, it can be a business relationship, it can be a romantic relationship, it can be, you know, with friends or what have you. But it's the beginnings of actually building a relationship on more solid, truer, intrinsic value-led grounds and an identification. And sometimes the learning point comes from what we don't want as our first starting point to say, that is where I choose not to go. I don't know what I do want, but it's got to be better than that. And that's a very powerful moment.
Oh, that is a powerful moment. And it is sometimes, like you said, difficult because we get in that cycle sometimes, you know, of kind of thinking we're not good enough, we're not enough of enough. And, you know, you say at the core of most of our wounds, and I'm quoting from your book, I Dare You to Be Great, says, is a prevailing thought that we are not good enough, that we're bad, and that we've done something wrong. And most commonly, it's a pattern of harm that's been learned as a child when we're most vulnerable. So, you know, it's just we have to sort of, you know, let go of those feelings of unworthiness. We have an email here, which is perfect. I think this person was just picking up on what you were just saying, and it's just jumped out at me. So can I share this with you?
Please.
It's her name's Holly, and... she said, how can I forgive my mother, who was very abusive to me and my brother while growing up, and still is, by the way, in parentheses here. She says, I'm so angry at her, but I can't seem to let go. How do I let go of this? So that's a great point, and very common, I bet you hear as well, Polly.
No, Holly, I really feel the pain in that, without a doubt. Mm. And also, it's not to negate the anger. Mm. You know, anger is actually a very important emotion. Mm-hmm. The thing with anger is that it can be really destructive, and it can eat us off inside. Mm. And actually can trigger disease, that lack of ease that you can have around things. So but it can also be harnessed and be constructive.
Yes.
And for me, I mean, I defy anyone to say that they haven't had trauma in some manner or means in their lives.
Right.
And Holly, I'm sure this has been very traumatic and can continue to be so. Mm. But actually working with someone who is a professional in this, I am not. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot from other great people who are masters in their fields, such as the Hoffman process, to really face that trauma and also to really allow that anger to come up and through in a constructive manner so that it can be released, because one of the worst things we can do is suppress it.
Yes.
Because, of course, what happens is eventually it just bounces out. Probably in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong way. And this is also about breaking the chains of the drama, the hooking into that whole cycle as well. Mm. And of course, when we choose to break our own inner cycles and no longer hook into that drama, what we find is often those who are playing out the drama with us of abuse no longer get a hook into you.
That's right.
And usually what happens is they either change or they move away. Because actually no longer do you attract in the pain and the drama into your lives. Mm-hmm. So have a look at the Hoffman process. I think that's one of the greatest processes in the world, actually, to deal with this sort of thing. And very fast and very effectively. You know, it's said that 1 week of Hoffman process is the equivalent of 4 years therapy and a degree.
No, it's true.
You can ditch a lot of stuff very fast. but you have to be courageous to do it, you know. Go in there and be open-hearted to saying, okay, now's my moment of enough. I wish to really let go here. And trust me, you will come out the other end. Mm-hmm. It's not about feeling better. It's about getting better at feeling and also establishing life on your terms, which is very important.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Polly, for helping out Holly. And I hope that did, you know, give you some ideas. And that Hoffman process is very powerful. You are so right, Polly. Mm. And it's just, you know, we do. You said we cannot express ourselves, especially when we're being abused growing up many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we shove those feelings in and we close down our capacity to feel and to express. We have no identity at that time. We don't feel like real people who are respected or acknowledged in the world. And so you're always a bad person. You know, you are nothing. You have nothing. So those are old recurring feelings that, you know, we are reminded of through our lives and also as adults. Mm. You know, Holly and Polly, I have, you know, I have clients in their 60s who are still have not worked with this, you know, and not worked through this and are still harboring anger towards their abusive or controlling parents. And it's like, my God, like you said, Polly, let it go. Get to that point where you say, enough. I choose to change. I choose to change.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Holly, who wrote in, your anger, think of it also biologically, it's hurting you. It's you know, releasing those chemicals that, you know, make it hard for your body to fight any illness or diseases, and it makes you very vulnerable to getting sick. So you don't need that as well on a more rational biological level.
Yeah, and this is very much about moving out of survival mode into, because survival mode is often about suffering, and it's about tension and pressure and just, you know, barely just getting on and through things. And it's about fundamentally shifting gear out of that into a world where we start to flourish and we are nourished and supported. Mm. And this is really about calling in support. This is not a journey that's meant to be done alone. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to work that one out.
Yes.
That there are others out there who have fantastic and truly great skills to help cut through this sort of thing very fast. And this is about investing in the self, you know, mm-hmm. gifting yourself time out, yes. even if it's a week of your time, to actually, you know, spend some time engaging with our own baggage. It's one of the best things we can do in the world, because yes. as we let go of our own baggage, so actually it becomes easier for those around us to do the same as well. It's a kind of public service, if you like.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so yeah. true. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for emailing us here on LA Talk Radio. I sure appreciate it. It was lovely of you to, you know, share that with us, and, you know, mm-hmm. just hopefully you'll listen to this again if you didn't get all that information, and go forward, you know, and learn more, you know, about the Hoffman process. And you might seek a therapist in your area who mm. can really help you through that, who might be a specialist yeah. in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Polly Higgins. She has authored a new book. It's called I Dare You to Be Great. I love it. What a wonderful title. You know, Polly is an amazing attorney. She was voted by the Ecologist as one of the world's top 10 visionary thinkers for her work advancing the Universal Declaration of Planetary Rights. We do have mm-hmm. planetary rights. And I know that mm-hmm. there are others out there that are somewhere in another galaxy very similar to ours. But while we're here right now, we might as well establish them on this planet.
After all, who are we to go to another planet when we haven't even worked out how to engage with life right. here? I'm a great believer in an overriding principle of first do no harm.
Yes.
And only once we've really managed to establish that can we actually dare to even think about going off to other planets.
It's so true. It's so true.
This idea of, you know, if we mess this one up, we might as well fly to Mars, I think is a truly mad idea.
Yeah.
We've yet to learn how to ensure that we leave the place a better place
yes.
Than when we first arrived, rather than the opposite.
Oh, gosh, it's so true. Mm. So true. Mm. By the way, in case you'd like to email us any questions for Polly Higgins or myself, do so. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We have a couple coming in, but, you know, I want to get to the here's an obvious question, but I mean, really, it can be difficult to determine and find happiness. I mean, it's the number one issue I hear from people who come in to see me in my office. It's, I want to be happier. Well, duh. I mean, and I'm not putting them down. I'm saying we all do. But mm. we all have our own interpretation of what that means. So maybe if you could share with listeners, how do you define happiness, and how do we find that?
How do I define happiness? You know, it's an intangible quality. Mm. But when you're happy, you so know it. It's a state of being. And happiness, I think, is a physical manifestation that comes about through increasing, it's kind of like amping up mm-hmm. the levels of love in your life.
Yes.
So when you feel nourished and loved and are capable of loving others and receiving love mm-hmm. and in a very loving context, mm-hmm. there's a great sense of happiness that comes with that, because also attendant to that comes the great capacity to be creative, mm. to have fun, to deeply, you know, deep pleasure that is non-abusive pleasure as well, I have
yes.
to point out. So it's that mutually reciprocal pleasure that comes from a place of loving friendship and loving relationships and laughter and pleasure. I was interviewed in Malta. I was over there last month.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
We ended up in the interview laughing so much that we actually had to cut the interview. And it was just one of these things that
great.
It kind of rippled out and,
right.
you know, none of us could stop. And it was one of these incredibly pleasurable moments where it was just a shared, you know, funny moment that just kind of took everyone over. And kind of spontaneous as well, but it was in part because of the enjoyment of life and where we were and what we were doing and what we were filming. And, you know, these moments are fantastic. And there's something that happens there. It kind of amps up our capacity to enjoy life even more, you know. And there have been studies done on this where they've actually measured people, their kind of happiness index. And the more you consciously bring happiness into the life, into your own life, the more it kind of radiates out. And, you know, it's a kind of exponential effect.
Yes.
It builds upon it and builds around it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very dynamic energy.
It is.
Right.
I agree with you so much. It is. It's almost, you know, like, oh my goodness. It's almost like really being connected others, being able to be connected.
Yeah.
You know, to others, which is terrific. But also, you know, it is. It's that whole social connectedness theory, you know, if we're connected with other people and of course find things that make us happy. It's sort of a no-brainer, but I mean, in a way, it's it's true. I mean, and again, it is a snowball effect. The more we're happy, the happier we feel, the happier we wake up, happier we don't go to sleep unhappy, and on and on and all that. And I know during the day you talk about, you know, increasing your thoughtfulness, mindfulness, and taking time out for yourself.
But also, it's about choices we make in life.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's very hard to be happy if you're in a job that really doesn't work for you.
Yes,
it's very hard to be
true.
Happy if you're in a relationship that doesn't work for you. It's very hard to be happy if you're feeling lonely in life and isolated. And, you know, this is really about also reaching out and connecting with community and community of people who have, you know, the same intrinsic values as the self, and that in itself is then deeply nourishing.
Right. So true.
Because it becomes reciprocal.
Boy, it does.
There's a reciprocity involved in happiness. You can only get so far. You can be in the most beautiful place in the world, but if you're all alone,
there
it's a kind of limited enjoyment, to be honest.
So true.
You know, laughing at your own jokes only goes so far.
Yes, that's right. You can only hug yourself so much, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Well, Polly, we have a caller on the line, and shall we go ahead and take this? See what's going on. Screener said, this person's very cool. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle and Polly Higgins. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hey. Hi, I just want to say, first and foremost, Polly, thank you so much for sharing your confidence and loving, compassionate information to the world. The planet definitely needs more people that understand positive vibration, and I really do appreciate that. And Dr. Michelle, I love you.
Thank you.
And all that you do. I really appreciate you. I had a question. I work with my father, and my father, I do everything that I can. It's kind of a difficult business. I studied, I got this license so we could work together so I could help him and, you know, be successful in this business with him. But it seems like everything that I do just is not good enough. He always finds something, you know, I really am putting my heart and soul into doing everything that I can to make him proud of me.
Yes.
And make him realize how much I'm putting in, how much effort. But he sees it rarely, and he'll make comments once in a great while. You know, good job, Justin. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's more just criticism of the things that he thinks that I haven't done, but I have done them. And I'll say, no, I have, look, I have done this. Mm-hmm. And then he'll completely blow off the fact that he said that I didn't do it, and then I proved to him that I did do it. And it's just, I guess what I'm saying is I am not a happy person right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
sure, I don't understand
know.
That. I really get your frustration in that as well. Especially when you feel that you're going, you know, the full length and trying to meet him.
Yes.
And it's not, and actually you're not being met. It's not being reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Very true.
Are there other people you work with, Justin, who you know, you can collaborate with and get, you know, good feelings from, you know, and acknowledge your hard work that you're doing?
Yes. Okay. I guess it's just that I want it from my father.
I understand. We all do, don't we? Right? Yeah. We want it from our parents. Sometimes they're, you know.
I guess my question is, how do I, excuse me, how do I disconnect? How do I, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's about disconnection necessarily, right, Polly? I think it's more about understanding that possibly he's not able or, you know, he can't do that for, you know, whatever reason. He's got issues on his mind. He's, you know, troubled or had a troubled past himself. And, you know, you can't be his therapist, per se. All you can do is protect
you. You know, sometimes there's something that can unlock.
Yes.
You know, these kind of deadlocks.
Yeah.
'Cause this is something that's obviously been playing out probably for the whole of your life, actually.
Yeah.
And what is it that can actually, you know, unlock this and break that? Because it's a pattern of harm, you know, that's playing out. And actually, there's two of you playing this, you know. And it may not even be at a conscious level for your father. This is the
right
thing. You know, it's such a kind of ingrained pattern going on there.
It's a great point.
And it kind of reminds me of something with my own father, who's now long gone. But he had a kind of similar pattern playing out. Of my own father had a similar pattern of putting me down.
Ah, yes.
In fact, just 2 days before he died, we had our first really, our only really great conversation. And I'm very grateful we had it. But you know, the interesting thing was, and now see, looking back, it was because I set a boundary.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I actually got to a point of saying, enough, no more, I love you, but I'm not going to accept this negativity anymore.
Yes.
And I'm going to invite you to speak with me from a place of love instead. Putting me down doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work. And I don't want to speak to you when you're like this. It gets me down. And that kind of honesty of it. But also I let go of the attachment to the outcome. It was a choice. I was giving him a choice. And it was, and actually I was expressing a need. I need a relationship that's based on mutual reciprocity of care. And it wasn't that. And it's okay if you can't give me that, because, you know, I will get it elsewhere. But what I'm no longer going to accept is this constant put down. And I'm going to hold you to account on it. You know, if this happens again, I'm going to draw it to your attention. I mean, actually, what I started to do was I started to say, Pops, I called him Pops. Pops, you're doing it again. And I say, I'm going to hang up
Pops.
The phone. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And it was often over the phone. And I'd say, I'm going to hang up.
Yes.
And, you know, I would actually hang up if he didn't get to a point of saying, oh, okay, no. You know, cause but I was drawing it to his attention without anger or malice.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
And somewhere along the line, it broke, and boom, we suddenly were capable of having a phenomenal conversation. And then he died. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was as if we'd finally worked out how to do it. And then he was off. And which was so lovely, because I didn't have any resentment either. So it was this thing of letting go of the consequence, but holding him to account on the pattern of harm that was playing out. So that I refused to remain complicit in it. That's the thing, because of course, when we let it happen, we're actually, you know, at a certain level, reinforcing the pattern, because we let our loved ones get away with it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's not absolutely to impose blame upon them, but just to say, you know, I'm going to stop you right there. this is happening again, and you know it doesn't work for me.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's call it a day, and you know, maybe we can talk another time when you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and just gently and calmly, and see what happens. You know,
right.
And it's like a child, you know, setting the boundary. And
that's
repeating.
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
We have to do
yeah.
that, don't we? No, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that helped you, Justin.
Wow.
I know Polly's lovely, isn't she? She's amazing.
Amazing. So, I'm flabbergasted. Polly, I can't thank you enough. I mean, I'm definitely, you just laid out a platform for me to, a brand new platform for me to approach
yeah.
my relationship with my father. Thank
yeah.
you so much. I love you.
Oh,
well, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, stay strong.
It may take quite a bit of, you know, repeating, but,
stay
you know,
strong.
Finally the penny has dropped, hopefully.
Do you mind me asking how old you are, Justin?
Yes, I'm 23 years old.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. Good time to start.
Yeah,
drawing
absolutely.
Those boundaries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, coming from that place of I'm an adult now, you know.
Yeah.
I'm no longer
right.
a child. Because actually, in a
right.
way, that's still treating you as a child.
Sure
which you're
is.
Not, you know.
Sure, sure.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
hitting all those
just
old
meet
triggers.
Meet him as an equal and invite him to meet you as an equal.
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't thank you guys enough. Dr. Michelle,
wow.
I love you so much.
Well,
Polly,
I love you,
so
Justin. Thank you. Thank you.
You're well.
You're lovely.
You guys.
You
yes,
take good care
you.
Of yourself. All right. Email
I
me,
will.
And if you need anything else or have any questions, and where you live, and I can give you some possible referrals. I would also suggest that you and your dad meet with a specialist who deals with parent and adult children relationships, because they can really mediate and square things away. And, you know, if not help your dad understand what he's doing to you, possibly just help empower you to
yeah.
just go on and, you know, be more loving and towards others and enjoy and create your own life, you know.
Yes.
All right.
That's beautiful. That's
right.
beautiful. And I'm definitely going to pick up Paul's
Great.
Book. You can guarantee that.
Oh, it's good. We'll tell you how you can get a hold of it at the end of the show. All right.
I'll be listening.
All right,
thank
Justin.
You guys so much.
You got it.
I love you both.
Love you. Take care.
Bye-bye
now.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
What a cool guy. I mean, that was lovely.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
that. And that takes real courage and
yes,
guts to
sure
even
does.
Discuss that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I find young adults now these days really are more enlightened, I think, than we were
yeah.
in my generation. You know, they were
sure.
just, you know, just more. I consider myself a young adult, but
yeah, but you know,
body.
Dr. Michelle, yeah. I'm still working out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
There
I
you
haven't
go,
worked that
girl.
One out yet.
That's what I'm talking about. Good for you. Good for you. I love that. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest today is Polly Higgins. She's an amazing visionary thinker and, of course, an attorney, environmental lawyer, advocating a different approach to preventing the destruction of our planet and, of course, helping you out to be great. The book's called I Dare You to Be Great. Polly Higgins will tell you in just a bit how you can get a hold of it. It's a great read, and it's inspiring, guys. It will really uplift you. I mean, you heard it from her moments ago talking to this young man who's having issues, so you get more and a lot more and more and more by reading this book. I loved this part. We talked about that briefly, about rewiring our DNA.
Mm.
We can do that with our thought patterns. We can do that, can't we?
Of course.
Sure.
Yes. Absolutely.
How are some of the ways? What are some of the ways? How can we do that?
Well, for me, this is also about conscious intent.
Mm-hmm.
What we choose to engage with, and my starting point are, what are the intrinsic values that shape who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Each of us brings unique skills into bearing. For me, you know, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
But it's the intrinsic values that shape how I choose to engage with law.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's about the sacredness of life. It's about the interconnectedness connectedness of life and also the love of life, love itself.
Yes.
I think it's very important. And you don't often hear lawyers talking about love.
That's right.
Like a kind of banned conversation.
Yes.
But maybe they're the ones that are the most important, you know, the banned conversations.
That's
because
right.
they're the courageous conversations. And, you know, those ones that we really fear the most can be, you know, the ones to really say, okay, how can I have a conversation in a way that touches on something that, you know, is scary to me but could lead to something far greater coming out of it? I mean, mm-hmm. Justin with his father, there's mm-hmm. a courageous conversation mm-hmm. he's just about to have.
Yes.
And, you know, if it's done from a place of love, then something great can only come of it.
Yes, exactly.
Without a doubt.
No,
it may throw up a lot of, you know, stuff initially, but once that settles, it could lead on to something far greater on both their sides.
Well, so true. I'm going to call you the love lawyer.
No.
I just decided, Paul, in parentheses, not a divorce attorney. That's your new handle. I've just decided that. You're great.
That's lovely.
Oh, well. Something else I really got a kick out of in your book, I Dare You to Be Great, is you said, you know when you're really into something great, when people tell you it's impossible.
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have a friend, he has his impossibility list.
Oh, that's,
you know, when he
so
finds
funny.
Himself saying that's impossible, he writes it down and he goes out to prove it to be possible. And of course, he always
yes.
proves it, which is wonderful. So he sets himself challenges, you know, mm-hmm. when he catches himself saying, no, that'll never happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because, of course, what he's doing is he's challenging his own mind to shift from a place of being closed
yes.
to being open up to the realm of pure potential
mm-hmm.
And possibility. And of course, then anything can happen. The magic mm-hmm. comes in. So,
I love that.
Absolutely.
No, that's
but you know
thing.
You're onto a good thing when people say that's impossible.
That's it.
That's your green light to say, go, baby, go.
That's right, exactly. That was sort of my mantra growing up. It's like, you'll never be able to do that. You won't do that. That's difficult. Life is hard. It's competitive.
Yeah.
Women your age shouldn't be pushing and, you know, you need to have lots of babies,
yeah.
and it's like blah, 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 blah. And every time, you're right, every time I heard that's impossible, you'll never be able to ...
yeah.
I went, oh, yeah, that was sort of...
Yeah, exactly. It's like a red rag to a bull, isn't it? It's, oh, yes, just watch me. Yeah, I know that.
That's right. It's true. I know you must. Polly, how do we step off the mouse wheel? How do we step off that wheel these days? How do we step off that wheel without spinning
yeah.
in perpetual motion.
This is really about the disruptors. I'm not interested in how we slow down the wheels of harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we actually disrupt it and actually step off completely.
Mm-hmm.
And this really is that moment of enough, no more, setting the boundaries and saying, I choose not to continue with that drama, that issue, that whatever it is that's pulling you down, that cycle of harm. And how it plays out.
Yeah.
And this is a very powerful moment when we say, enough.
Enough.
I'm not having this
That's
anymore.
Right.
I choose
right.
something else. It's one of these things that actually I call it critical choice points in our lives.
Yes.
When we choose to do something else, when we are open to the wind of opportunity and we step into it and we decide to take a very different path, especially mm. when it's the unknown path. I mean,
right.
one of my key critical choice points in my life was when I walked out of court after winning in part a very, very long case that lasted 3 years.
My goodness.
And I found myself on judgment day looking out of the window thinking, it's not just my client that's been badly injured and harmed
right.
here.
Right.
So has the earth. And
yes.
my next thought actually changed my life. I found myself thinking something needs to be done about that. The mm-hmm. earth is in need of a good lawyer.
Yes.
And I left that courtroom and I had helped change law here in the UK
yes.
in winning that case. And mm-hmm. I remember going back to my clerks, they're the ones who look after your court cases,
yes.
and them saying to me, Miss, you're made. You know, now you can take on really big cases. You've mm-hmm. been such a success mm-hmm. in this. And I'm saying to them, yeah, and I've decided I'm taking a year out. Yes. I'm going to examine the big question, how do we create a legal duty of care for the earth? Because it's not just my client who is badly injured and harmed, so is the earth.
Yes.
And there are missing laws here.
Oh, that's
and
so true.
That was 10 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. You are a superstar, Paul.
This is what happens when you step off.
Right.
You know, you take a completely different path that takes you in a very different direction.
It's so true.
And the magic comes in. You know, the adventure begins then.
It does. It sure does. Yeah. And now you are into a whole new other realm of, you know, the Ecocide Act and helping other people and really, you know, making life more, you know, more wonderful, finding happiness and healing one another through changing, you know, our goals to heal the earth environmentally and take care of ourselves and our beautiful planet as well.
Yes.
Hey, Polly, what's the best way we can get your book and find out more about you?
Well, of course, you can always Google it. Ideally, to be great. And it's out there in Amazon. And, you know, ask your independent bookseller. I'm a great believer in supporting independent booksellers. And just getting them to order it in for you may take a day or two extra. But, hey, it's creating and supporting and nourishing local business in your area as well.
True.
So that's a very nice thing to do. And inviting them to get a few extra copies in their bookshops at the same time.
Okay.
But it's out there, there's a website, I'm daringtobegreat.com, or Google my name, pollyhiggins.com, or the Eradicating Ecocide website. It tells you a lot about the international law of ecocide that creates a legal duty of care for the earth.
Yeah.
I Dare You to Be Great is also looking about how we create our internal duty of care for our own selves and our way of being and how we engage with our community, as well as dealing with the global issues of mass damage and destruction.
Those
inner ecocides that play out, how do we let them go and how do we create a proper duty of care for ourselves and our loved ones?
Well, you're a lovely person. Thank you for all you do, Polly.
Appreciate
it. Likewise. It's been so lovely talking with you, and hopefully listeners will, you know, have gained so much from this. And, of course, go on your website. And, of course, if they want to hear more about, you know, what happened earlier in the show, in case you missed the whole thing, you can listen tomorrow. It'll be up here in the LA Talk Radio archives. So, Polly, bless you, and take good care. And I'll look forward to talking with you again in the hopefully near future.
Oh, Dr. Michelle, it's been an absolute delight.
Aw, thank you. All righty.
Thank you.
Talk later, and many blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All righty, again, that's Polly Higgins, author of I Dare You to Be Great. Great book. Good read. It'll help you out and to just make your life easier. Find happiness. Be greater. Manage some of those issues as well that you've been dealing with for so many years. Come on, move on. I'm done. Eat enough. As I always say, do take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Dr. Michelle Cohen here, and I'll be back next week with more of the best in helping you out on the couch. Bye-bye.